I've discovered that almost every new thing that comes into parapsychology, Andre's there first somehow.
Andre Fajarich, are you for real? You're on, Andre.
Bill?
Yes.
Hey, Bill, good to talk to you.
All right, glad. We were just talking about you. Were your ears burning?
Yeah, who is that talking? I didn't recognize the voice.
Hi, this is Alan Vaughn, Andrea.
Alan Vaughn, God bless you. Lovely to hear from you.
Good to hear you, too.
Oh, listen, I'm going to see you out in California when I get out there on the 18th, 19th, I hope.
But we're excited about that.
Well, everybody's kind of planning on you being.
Well, that's terrific. I look forward to seeing you.
Well, we have so many things to discuss tonight with this audience, Andrea. Where would you like to start? What do you do? What's the most dramatic thing that's happening? Not that everything isn't.
Well, you know, from my point of view, I'm sitting in my lab and I'm doing little things here and little things there. And I never know what's dramatic and what might be a clunker, you know. The thing that's got me very excited and busy now, I've been working for a number of years on the whole problem of what I call ELF, that's extremely low frequency magnetic waves that are being used in modern warfare and that are also psychoactive, and that they modify behavior at a distance without the person being aware that anything is going on. And I've been so concerned about that for 8 years that I determined that by hook or crook, I'm going to make some kind of a device that's going to be a personal shield for an individual so they cannot be damaged or hurt by these ELF waves.
And, well, we've certainly seen the ELF phenomenon going on.
Yeah.
That's associated with the woodpecker signals and the things that we have discussed in many occasions.
Yes.
How does this differ from the new thing that's being thrown at us from over there? That's the scalar wave.
Well, actually, it's pretty much the same sort of thing. It's just new terminology. But basically, Nikola Tesla invented all this in 1900.
Yes.
And really discovered the scalar nature of these waves that the Soviets really copied from Tesla's work. And it was really due to the brilliant detective work of our friend Tom Bearden, who really identified them as scalar waves. So we're talking about the same thing, different terminology.
Well, one seems to be more of a potential energy that is being leveled at us, where the ELF is a kinetic wave.
Yes, you're quite right in that in order to get a scalar wave to be kinetic, you have to intersect two of them, set up an interference pattern, and where the interference pattern occurs is where you get your kinetic effect. But we're still talking about the same basic phenomena in the Soviet ELF transmission. For example, in order to get their ELF transmitters to be effective in this so-called warfare that's going on, they usually have to use two of them, each one being a scalar beam, and that way they steer where the effect is going to occur. If they want to drop it on New York, they get a phase array, so-called, of two of these transmitters. They have a number of them around the Soviet Union. So it really isn't that big a distinction in terms of net effect.
I tell you what, we're getting a little interference on a bad telephone line, Andrea.
Uh-oh.
What we're going to do, we're going to take a break here, and I'm going to get us to try another line with you.
Yeah,
and we'll be right back.
Okay.
I know that Alan is chomping at the bit to interview you again.
Oh, I'd love to talk to Alan. Can I hang up the phone then?
Yeah, you hang up, and we'll get right back to you. We're talking to Dr. Andrea Fajarich, along with Alan Vaughn, who's a guest in studio with me tonight. Just to give you an idea, we'll be discussing the scalar wave. We'll be discussing the crystal skull, but a little different one that Nick Nesserina would talk about next week. That's the Mitchell Hedges skull. We have some other skulls we want to get into. Andrea knows a great deal about those. Our old friend, the UFO, certainly psychic phenomena. He was very instrumental in the development of the abilities of Greta Woodruff, who will be with us the latter part of January. In fact, she will be in town. Oh, a lot of things. A lot of things going to happen tonight, so stay with us.
I remembered the line from the Hindu scripture, the Bhagavad Gita, Vishnu is trying to persuade the prince that he should do his duty, and to impress him, takes on his multi-armed form and says, "Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds. I suppose we all thought that one way or another.
All right, we are good.
All right, sweet. So, I think the most, he strikes me as like one of the most influential, like really one of the top sort of, if I'm going to keep trying to make New Age suit happen, then Arthur M. Young. He was most famous as the inventor of the rotor mechanism that made a very first viable helicopter for the aerospace manufacturer Bell Textron in the 40s, which of course later absolutely crucial to the carrying out of the war atrocities in Southeast Asia. And Young was respected as one of the foremost thinkers of the 20th century by his peers, I guess, and others. And he was also present at the Nine's very first appearance at Puharish Roundtable Foundation in 1952 to 1953. He has later connections as well, but the very fact that he's there from the get-go is interesting. And Young and his wife, Ruth, organized the Foundation for the Study of Consciousness in Philadelphia, the forerunner of the Institute for the Study of Consciousness, which has... This is it becomes a California-based institute with obviously then connections to SLN, Berkeley, and the California Institute of Integral Studies. And this is really where this kind of quantum mysticism scene in the 60s onwards starts to appear and, you know, is created, basically. And this is where... I'm sure everybody's read something by Huxley, Aldous Huxley, Doors of Perception, Alan Wilson Watts, which I'm not going to lie, I really like Watts. I've always liked Watts. I did become a Buddhist before I read Watts, though. I was even initiated in the temple in China before I had ever read anything by Alan Watts, which, I mean, that might not mean anything, but I try to think of it as making me slightly more genuine than the YouTube inspiration channel posters. And of course, Terence McKenna also came out of this, the California Institute of Integral Studies. And so it is an institute very much inspired by Young's understanding of the great chain of being, which is sometimes referred to as the theory of processes or the theory of process. And according to which each category of evolution, I mean, this is them talking about the logotype of the theory of process or the Institute of the Study of Consciousness. When they speak about their logotype, when I looked it up on their homepage, it says each category of evolution is symbolized in our logo by three triangles, colored yellow, aqua, or white, respectively, on one atop of the other, instinct on top of genetics, and wisdom over instinct. The three triangles point downs to one point at the middle of 7 points on the whole circle, end of quote. Now, already hear that somehow LSD-inspired wisdom will sort of alter your genetics is, of course, you know, it's an interesting loophole in the very field of determinism of genetics. Like, they're not really going outside of it, like, which is what this quantum mysticism is all about. Like, they're not really stepping out of anything. They're just sort of, they're remaining within it, but they're offering up some bribes, right? Like some pleasure bribes of how to become a genius, basically, like a fully evolved human being, right? And I think, like, later I have a long passage discussing this, the great chain of being, as a quasi-evolutionary New Age ideology its impacts and its dangers. But just from what I saw on their own homepage, according to this institute itself, it is, quote, Arthur Young's theory of process is a formal analytical tool, a model based on number theory, geometry, and topology. It is also based on Young's extensive study of traditional wisdom, Jungian archetypes, theosophy, astrology, yoga, mythology, and other modes of knowledge and insight. Young used this model to help comprehend and integrate a number of disciplines and areas of inquiry, end of quote. So it's really a kind of new age theory of everything. And through their theories about the grand chain of being, of human development towards unique individual geniuses, it has to be said, like, even before I get into it, like, as I will later, it's not explicitly fascist, but it is, as with most Jungian, Theo, Anthroposophic, New Ageism, geographically fundamentalist, with a very Western-centric focus. Make of that what you will for now. Do you want to say something short, like, about either quantum mysticism or, like, the Great Chain of Being, or Arthur Young, like, and his theory of process? Like, I, you know, if you have some, you know, if you know something about him, before I go on to some of his followers, because, like, I found some really interesting stuff about his followers that it really, like, gives off the vibes of this whole project.
So I have one, and this one still kind of messes with my head a little bit. Arthur Young, he was married once, and then in 1948, he marries into the, it's the Boston Forbes family. He marries, what's her name? Ruth Forbes Payne. Ruth Forbes Payne is the great granddaughter of Ralph Waldo Emerson and the mother of Michael Payne.
Ooh, Michael Payne, Payne
was married to Marina Payne of the JFK assassination. I love to drop that little nugget in there because it always comes back to JFK.
Right.
What the fuck? That's, duh. I'm going to be thinking about that all night. That's
what. Yeah. That's that little nugget right there. It's enough to kind of, it's like it's made to make you go crazy.
Nice. I was so into the Payne family earlier. Like, oh man, like, some nasty people.
That's, I mean, that's a good case of nominative determinism right there. The name Payne.
I like that. Yeah, nominative determinism. You couldn't go any other way. You're a Payne, man. You need to be involved.
Exactly.
As Jimmy would say, all family is family history, or all history is family history. So there you go.
Right on. The appendix to the Little Red Book. Okay, I think you guys are going to love this one. I bet, because I put this in the note very late. So I'm sure you didn't read about this until now. And so I'm very happy to have your first-hand experience of this.
Hard copy, right?